significant news of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's important to understand the new look of the concentration camp inside the Soviet Union, especially that so-called camp that is reserved for the intellectual. We're talking about the insane hospital. That's the new look. Well, of course, the old concentration camps still exist, in spite of the fact that even way back in the time of Khrushchev, he said that they had gone out of existence. They had, in other words, as he put it, disappeared with Stalinism. But it has been found since Khrushchev moved on, or was moved on, that the concentration camps still remain. But now, for those who are so important that their disappearance into the concentration camp, or the labor camps, or the prison camps of Siberia might cause too much of a public reaction, there is the attempt now not merely to punish, but also to discredit, to say that anybody who opposes communism inside the Soviet Union is just plain crazy. Here's the story. The Soviet Union has devised a novel system of getting rid of political unreliables. It sends them to the insane asylum. There, political prisoners whose madness was, of course, to disagree with Soviet policies in the first place, these people share cells with real patients, some of whom are actual psychotic criminals. The Chronicle of Current Events, a Russian underground periodical, reports that physicians inject these dissenters with heavy doses of a drug, sulfazin, and then another one called aminazin, two drugs which cause deep depression, shock, and physical disorders. Medical attendants, who are actually KGB officers in white coats, reportedly weakened the anti-Soviet inmates with shots of sodium ammonate, a strong confessional narcotic. This, of course, prior to interrogation. By placing political antagonists in mental hospitals, the government spares the state the embarrassment and the trouble of trying what they call uncooperative intellectuals. The technique works this way. Soon after arrest, prisoners are sent to Professor D.R. Luntz, a cooperative forensic psychiatrist at the Serbsky Institute in Moscow. He declares them insane. The prisoners are then whisked away to a state hospital for indefinite stays. Some of the crimes committed by these Soviet so-called madmen, like, for instance, N.I. Samsonov, locked up from 1956 to 1964. He made the mistake of writing to the Communist Party Central Committee to criticize Stalin's theories. And then Viktor Feinberg, now in a Leningrad hospital, protested the Russian invasion of Czechoslovakia. A man by the name of Forpostov, his madness was to try to escape across the Russian-Polish border. Anybody that wants to escape the workers' paradise just has to be crazy, at least in the view of the Soviet bureaucrats. Former Major General Grigorenko, a civil rights activist, was arrested for the second time last year. A medical board declared him paranoid, sent him to an asylum. The authorities arrested Natalia Gorbnaskaya, a 33-year-old poet, mother of two. She signed two letters to the United Nations Human Rights Commission protesting repressive Soviet policies. Then Mrs. Gorbnaskaya, charged with defaming the Soviet state and social system, was sent to a psychiatric clinic for pre-trial examination and then ordered to a mental hospital, probably the one located in Leningrad. In any case, this is the story. Intellectual after intellectual, anybody that has a following, it's murderous. Now, they don't send you to Siberia. If you have a following, too many people might be tempted to look upon you as a martyr. So they try to strip away the martyrdom complex or image and simply tell your friend that you had lost your mind. This would tend to tell them that if they repeated your performance, that they too would be declared insane. And then, of course, a great many of the friends probably would believe that there was some form of insanity, and with the government putting its mighty weight behind the verdict, many of them probably do believe it. That's the way that things are carried on in the workers' paradise. And I wonder, ladies and gentlemen, if this particular story, which in this case comes from the Detroit Free Press, might not be helpful to some of you to place before the eyes of young people to show them what life behind the Iron Curtain is really like. If you'd like to have a copy of it, simply ask for the article called Where Dissent equals insanity. Where dissent equals insanity. We'll make a photostatic copy of the story and enclose it when we send the books that we have offered this month to those who have helped to support this broadcast by their contribution sent to Box 90, Glendale, California. We ask that when you write for things that we offer, you take advantage of the opportunity to support the broadcast. Remember that you are the only sponsor we have. We need to hear from you because unless people all over this nation rally around the broadcast with their help and their interest, their prayers and telling other people about it and their support, then the broadcast cannot stay on the air because we dare not take a commercial sponsor for a number of reasons. First of all, because we have to be controversial since we are dealing in truth that many times the ordinary press will not carry, or if they carry, will bury in some far distant page away from the front where most people read the news and pass on to other things. But we dig these stories up. Our listeners from coast to coast find the most astonishing things to send us. We get the information and put together the stories that are related. And we do this in the same way in the publications that we put out to make available to you the things that we publish so that people may have the evidence for themselves. Case in point is our new book, Countering Communist Clichés, and also the other book, which we're going to mention just a day or two longer and then no more. It's entitled Why Justice William Douglas Should Be Impeached. Now, these two books are not just simply opinion. They are not diatribes or even sermons. They are factual, carefully documented, and most responsible studies of great issues before the American public, wherein we have all been victimized by mythology. I believe that one of the curses that right now has been fastened on the American people is the tremendous multiplication of myths, getting people to believe things that are simply not true. Myths involving great issues. And these issues, which will determine the destiny of this nation, need your help and support to be dispelled. And you can only do this through fact, documentation, and with publications that put the information at your disposal. And that's one of the many things we try to do in response to your support of this broadcast and all of its activities, our research center, our youth work, the many other things that we're doing. We take that which you send and put it to work in the battle for truth because, ladies and gentlemen, the hour is late. There are not many of us who are standing as a kind of thin gray line in these days and times. Too many people are just simply throwing up their hands in despair and saying there's nothing can be done. We're lost. It's too late. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's not too late. Not as long as enough Americans believe that this nation is worth saving because, remember, it is the shield of the free world. If this nation goes down, the free world goes down with it and becomes only a page of history, and a page, I might add, that will be censored out by the communists, who will try to make it appear that this great experiment in freedom called America never did really exist. It was just a kind of silent time in history. The history of the dreadfully perverted society to come if the communists win. Of course, we believe, those of us who are Christians, that this is the day of Antichrist, the movement of Antichrist, which is probably communism, or some derivative therefrom, is certainly among us. Many of the ancient predictions of the Bible, for example, are now coming to pass day by day in a startling fashion. On this broadcast, I assure you, we are quite cognizant of those predictions, and we carefully study them because they do have the wisdom of God, which is far more meaningful than the wisdom of man in understanding today's world. And that's one of the reasons that we fight communism with every ounce of strength, with all the intelligence, the documentation, the research, all the tools that we have, and all the tools that you support and make possible. Now, here's something that everybody needs to pay attention to. Dear Dr. McBurney, I've been listening to your program for years, both in the Detroit area and now here in Florida. I've been intending to write for many times, but I have neglected writing until now. I'm concerned about you and the program. We in America need someone who will tell it like it really is, not like someone wants to hear it. I am a social studies teacher in school. The students and I often discuss how the books, newspapers, newscasts, and especially the telecasts often do not tell the straight truth. Aren't you leaving yourself open to some danger by naming certain people as left-wing and liberal and even some as communists? Because what would people do if you were forced off the air? And the teacher signs the name. I won't identify anything about the teacher except the state, because we always protect the sources of those who write us. You don't need to write and say, don't use my name over the air, because we won't use anybody's name on the air who writes us, just to protect you from harassment. But to answer the question, are we in danger for taking a stand on this broadcast? Of course we are, from all sources. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, the men who represent us on the fighting fields in Vietnam and Cambodia also are in danger. And it does not behoove anyone to hide his light under a bushel in these days. If he knows the truth, he has a responsibility to tell it or help someone else tell it. Because unless we, as the writer says, tell it like it really is, not like people would like it to be, then we are derelict in our duty. Have you ever sworn allegiance to the flag of the United States? Of course you have. Everybody has, except those who refuse to do so because they have subversive views. I know I have done it thousands of times, and I've meant it every time. Well then, in your pledge of allegiance to the flag as a nation under God, if you meant it, as I did, then what are you doing about it? Has it ever occurred to you that you ought to implement the pledge of allegiance to the flag by action? One thing you can do is to help keep this voice on the air. Help bring other people to the broadcast as listeners, that is, bring it to their attention. Get the books and, from time to time, the documented information that we offer. Share it with other people after you've read it yourself. Circulate it among your friends. Take a positive stand for the president whenever you can, whenever you possibly can. We're not always able to agree with the president, not even on this broadcast, but whenever we have something in disagreement to say, it is not in disloyalty, it is in the hope that the people will write the president or their representatives in Congress, and that they in Washington who guide the affairs of this nation will feel public opinion. But most of the time, public opinion sleeps. As President Nixon says, it's a silent majority most of the time. Our job is to try to awaken as much of that silent majority as possible so that it will speak in this day of national peril. That's why I need your help. There are many things that you can do to implement your pledge of allegiance to the flag. How about doing something about it today? And then you can really be filled with a spirit of allegiance to the things that the flag stands for. We have two new books for you I've mentioned before, Why Justice Douglas Should Be Impeached and How to Counter Communist Clichés. Both of them are really needed these days. They both have a meaning far beyond that which is suggested by the title, for both provide information and documentation to help you in standing up for America, the Constitution, and freedom under God. They're given as our gifts of appreciation to those who write, sending their help and support for this broadcast to Box 90, Glendale, California. And if you want a copy of the special article I mentioned today, Where Dissent Equals Insanity, I'll be glad to send it along to